future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who win it now?
What's up, Houston? Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're the producers of the station. We take over. We kick out the important people because now it's us because we are here in the studio. As you guys know, if you listened last week, it's going to be a rotating show. And before I introduce today's co-host, we're going to make an announcement on this as well. We are going to be live every single Saturday here on the bullpen from 12 to 2. Starting next week, it will be myself and Andrew Carlson for the most part. And on Sundays, we're also going to be live from 10 to 12. It's going to be Brian McDonald, RJ, and Sean Mapes. And Sean Mapes is here with me today, famously of the Paul Gallant Show.
Famously of the Paul Gallant
Show. What's up, dude? How are you?
It's good. I'm doing good. Off to a great start.
Yeah, you're fine.
Doing great. I was hoping in the intro there's say, here's the producers, and they just list everyone because of the rotating cast, but no, they don't. I was really waiting for seven names to be listed.
It would have been. It might have been funnier, honestly. Like if we just like listed every single person that could ever be on
everyone
the show.
Everyone who's currently taking a paycheck from Gal Media.
Yeah, it's listed on the show. You guys can text in at 713-780-3776. Call in as well to the HRMP listener line. Of course, we are here on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. It's not often that I am a proponent of starting a show with the worst team in the city. That is the Houston Rockets. However, the last 24 hours, and really past that, ever since Kelly Eco of The Athletic was on, I think it was Channel 2 last week, and he said that there's a 70% chance, in his opinion, that James Harden could be back here in Houston this offseason. And it's one of those things where you put no credit to it because it just feels like it's never going to happen. But Kelly's great. I know Kelly really well. He's a really good reporter. So he's got it. And then more of the national guys start to get it. And it's just, it's growing and it's growing and it's growing. And it feels like there's finally real momentum to this idea that James Harden could be a Houston Rocket next year. And then you've got, on top of that, Zach Lowe and Jonathan, I think it's Gavoni of ESPN, trashing the Rockets culture. And we'll play that for you in a second here. But the Rockets are a total mess. And last night proved it again when they benched Alperen Şengün. I think it was with 4:30 left in the third quarter. They don't play him again. Silas talks about him after the game. Alperen Şengün puts out a tweet. Vanessa has to then talk to Alfie and get clarification on what that tweet meant because it sure as hell looked like a subtweet of his coach. What a mess this organization is right now.
It's crazy that that is like the Alperen Şengün's deleted tweet is honestly like not a top five Rocket story. Like right now, not just Rocket story, Rocket's dysfunction story in the last week. And like you said, with Kelly coming out there and saying 70% chance, that is a giant percent chance.
Big time.
For the worst team in the league to bring back a superstar they had traded, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Over 2 years ago.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where James Harden is, and we'll keep getting to this as well, I don't get it. I don't get why people are excited about it. And for me, it kind of goes into the Rockets culture of what matters to this team, what matters to the organization. Is it winning? Is it the fact that, you know, Tillman Fertitta, is he upset that his stadium is pathetically empty at all times? That besides these stories, no one cares? You know, I read Ken Hoffman did a story on sportsmap.com in response to a comment Tony Kornheiser made on PTI that the NBA would not allow the Rockets to win the lottery to get Victor Wembanyama because the owner doesn't know what he's doing and they're such a dysfunctional franchise. Like, that's what people think of the Rockets right now, that the NBA would rig the lottery again to keep him from the Rockets.
And by the way, this is all, again, from most of the stuff is the last 48 hours and then Kelly locally. All the national stuff is from the last 2 days.
I know.
After 6 months, 12 months, 18 months of not talking about the Rockets at all, now all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, look at this tread. You can be the worst team in the league. You can have the worst record in the NBA for 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Once you get to 3 years, that's when the Zach Lowe's, even Tony Kornheiser, who I didn't know stayed up to watch Rockets basketball.
Well, see, that's so funny. It's like, guarantee he doesn't.
He has never watched.
And like one of his producers is just telling him like, hey, say this.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to bother people in Houston. And like, I get it. Like, it's not like, when people talk trash about the Astros right now and people get all upset about it, and I don't get it. I don't get why it bothers people still. The Astros just won a World Series. Like, just relax, man. Like, it's okay if people still hate the Houston Astros. You're the evil empire. People don't like the Rockets for, it seems like, a million reasons. But let's hear that audio. Jonathan Givony was on Zach Lowe's podcast. Here's them talking about the Rockets culture.
When you talk to people around the NBA about Houston, you just don't hear good things about their culture, you know, about their locker room.
You hear it's a circus. It's like a complete circus.
You talk to, you know, people that are on that team. They're like, we are a mess, you know? And so do people want to work with this organization, you know? But like, you could change that fairly quickly, I would think, if you come in and you know, you get rid of the bad apples and you change the coaching staff, and all of a sudden you're Houston. You're the third biggest city in America. You know, like, there's a history here of you actually being good. Like you said, you have picks, you have cap room. There are some things to work with.
And look, I think that's one thing that I take away, that's from that quote, just real quick, that's so true, is that the Rockets may look like this dysfunctional organization, and they have been for the last 3 years. All that can change in two seasons, in one season. If Victor Wembanyama is this best prospect since LeBron James, and he comes in and they're competitive next year and Jalen Green takes a step, no one considers them as a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah, you can be a dysfunctional organization and still, like, win basketball games.
Yeah,
like that is very possible to do. It's hard. It's harder. I'd rather have a good organization, but you can still do it.
I was filling in for Jeremy yesterday, and we were talking about this on the Killer Bees with Joel and I, is that, you know, how many great owners in sports actually are there? Like, how many not dysfunctional organizations are there? Because I think the perfect example is when you look at a team like the Texans or the Rockets, you call them dysfunctional. But at this point in time, you would not call the Cincinnati Bengals a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah.
It's like everyone forgot what literally has happened the last 30 years of their lives before Joe Burrow got there. Carson Palmer literally did what Deshaun Watson did. He retired and then forced the trade to the Oakland Raiders at the time. Like, they're one of the most dysfunctional organizations in all of pro sports, but Joe Burrow makes them not dysfunctional, and they're one coach. Like, D'Amico Ryans and a Bryce Young can do the same thing. They can make Cal McNair no longer be Tommy Boy. It doesn't mean he's not still Tommy Boy.
Yeah, exactly. It provides cover. And right now, what they have is no cover. That the national media is taking shots at you for the first time. Again, probably since you traded James Harden for no players, basically.
Yeah, and then Brian Windhorst as well, he was doing a TV appearance, and he said the same thing. He said the Rockets are just a total mess. He said, quote, "I think Houston is a dangerous fit for anybody because that team is out of control. They've completely destroyed and broken down Silas, who's a good man, but can't handle the renegade operation that's become. Pretty much everything the Rockets do right now is a mess."
That sounds like a movie trailer.
That's
like that. Okay, so he said renegade organization. What was the first thing he said?
He said that they've completely destroyed and broken down Silas.
Destroyed, broken down Silas. Yeah.
He's a good man.
Like, it's like they've just ruined this guy's life.
I will say, that is when you know you're done as a coach, is when the media is like, he is a very good man.
Oh, it's
that's all they say about him. Listen, he's a great guy.
100%. When they start saying someone's a good person in sports, you're done. It typically means, because there's usually a but. It's like when people say, like I'm not racist, but you know that whatever comes after that but is going to be racist. It's in sports. If someone says he's a good man, but, it means they're either a washed up player or a terrible coach.
Yeah, a coach who is about to get fired. Yeah. It's a dangerous place, is what Brian Windhorst said.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous place.
No, look, it is. The Rockets are extremely dysfunctional. Like, I'm not going to sit here and deny any of this because, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. has missed a month with a toe injury, a month plus. And it's Jalen Green is not developed. Last night, Alperen Şengün, like, it's just not going well. That game they lost before the All-Star break when Steven Silas is telling them, don't switch, don't switch,
Oh, yeah, the Miami game.
And then Deshaun Nix switches anyways. and it's just like, and they get the alley-oop dunk to win. It's just what they're not listening to Silas. They're not developing these players. It's all bad.
And the thing is, no one came in being like, this team push for the play-in. Like, this is going to be the – no. It was like, oh, you'll be like the fifth worst team of the league. You'll be the Orlando Magic now. Like, seven games above where the Rockets are. Like, that's all they're missing by. But the fact that they are this bad and the fact that there's no development, there's no offensive system to speak of when – especially when Kevin Porter and Jalen Green are in the game
mm-hmm. –
there's just nothing. The only bright spot, you have Alperen Sengun on offense, who also is not getting utilized. Like, he's succeeding in spite of the surroundings around him. And so that is how you get Steven Silas is a great man.
Yeah.
But this is a renegade operation.
At one point last night, I saw Jackson Gatlin from Locked On Rockets tweet that at one point in the game that Frank Kaminsky, the newest member of your Houston Rockets, had as many touches in the post as Alperen Sengun.
I got to feed Frank the Tank.
I mean, yeah. I mean, Frank Kaminsky, like, hasn't been good since he was at Wisconsin.
My favorite stat of the current state of the Rockets basketball, and this actually probably does speak to why they are where they are right now. Frank Kaminsky and Boban Marjanovic are the two most tenured Rockets. They've both been in the league for 7 years.
Yeah.
The next most tenured Rocket, I think it's KJ Martin.
Yeah.
And this is his fourth year in the league.
Yeah, they are one of the youngest teams in the NBA, which is where sometimes you can say, you can spin zone it and go, look, you know, they're so young. Most of their guys are 18, 19. Like, 80% of that lineup can't drink.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so
that makes it even funnier in the, I believe it was, it was Tim McMahon that said, like, we are bad. Like, the players know, or no, it's Gavoni who said, like, the players know that they are dysfunctional.
Yeah.
This is 20-year-olds that are looking around being like, this is not good.
And this kind of goes back to, you know, those viral John Wall clips that came out where, you know, he told, you know, some of these young guys, like this stuff doesn't work elsewhere. Like, this stuff that you're doing, the way you operate right now, is going to get you out of the league, not just on the bench. Like, you're going to be overseas before, like, if you keep playing like this. And that goes to the culture. And look, Steven Silas was brought in to coach James Harden and Russell Westbrook. He's coached a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds with no life experience, no NBA experience. And frankly, like, when you look at the NBA right now, there is a lack of development because most of these guys don't seem to really care about being a team player until after they get that rookie contract paid. And, like, that's when you really start to see some of these teams turn the corner. And you have exceptions like what the Thunder are doing this season.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just a total – it's a mess. And honestly, I think adding James Harden to this group of guys –
he is coming in on his white horse to save the culture of the Houston Rockets, James Harden.
James Harden riding in on his white horse to save the culture of the Houston Rockets. Do you want him back? And let me tell you something. I think – James Harden wanting to come back to Houston tells you everything you need to know about James Harden. We'll talk about that next. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Joe George. Josh behind the glass. It's the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You can find us on Twitter at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes, at IMJ Chevy on Twitter for Joe George, Sean, and Josh. James Harden. Like we said, Kelly Eco of The Athletic on Channel 2 last week said there's a 70% chance he thought that James Harden could be back with the Rockets. We knew that these rumors have kind of been floating around for a little bit of time. You know, my general belief system, Sean, is that the youngest for Tita, Patrick, is the one that is really kind of pushing this. But I think there's also Tillman and jersey sales and the stadium and
the business office.
The business office. Like, they want James Harden back. And, like, I get it from that perspective, okay? I get the idea that, like, people don't care about your team, that you are irrelevant in this city. Because even though the Texans are just as bad, they just matter so much more. I mean, this is what I would imagine. This is before I moved to Houston in 2015. So I was here after the AT&T debacle with the Astros, or sorry, Comcast debacle with the Astros, weren't they weren't on TV. I kind of feel like that's where this level of interest is at, though. Like, when people talk about those times when the Astros were losing 100 games and they weren't on TV, I kind of feel like that's where we're at with the Rockets right now, where there's probably people who are stunned that we are 18 minutes into our show and we're still talking about the Rockets.
Yeah, no, and I mean, by the way, there's some, like, local RSN stuff that's going on.
That stuff is all crazy.
That is, like, obviously the most boring thing to talk about on a radio show, so we won't. But there's a lot of changes probably coming to local how local games get brought.
Look, there was a report. Now, AT&T Southwest has denied this, but there was a report from, I think it was the New York Post, that AT&T Southwest was behind on their payments to the Houston Astros. And with these RSN feeds, like, I think it's – I know people, like, get, like, I get upset with this, trying to find which, like, streaming service I can watch the Astros on. Now I have Xfinity. You know what the dumbest thing on the planet is? I pay for Xfinity, and they won't let me watch the Astros game unless I'm at home. I have to be on my home Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What a scam. Yeah. What a scam.
It's like, crazy. You can't be somewhere else in Houston and watch
I'm in Houston. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, if within the next 2 or 3 years, if we see the Astros and the Rockets on, like, Channel 13 and Channel 2.
Yeah.
Are those the same thing? No, they're not.
Good job. Yeah, you've been here since 2015, right?
I know.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Then none of them are actually their real channels, so I forget. People call it Channel 13. It's not on Channel 13.
What?
Mine is because it's it's not actually 13.
Oh,
it's like 613 or whatever it is. Oh. I know it's a dumb. Oh my God. I know it's a dumb semantic.
Yeah,
thing, but like,
you're complaining because you're on the HD channel.
My brain hurts sometimes. I'm like trying to find it. I go to 13 and it's like, this is not. Mm. It doesn't exist. I'm stupid.
Yeah.
But with James Harden.
Yeah, you know who you could watch on Channel 13 on the Rockets coming up soon.
Who's
maybe
that?
James Harden.
Oh God.
70% chance.
So here's Brian Windhorst and Tim McMahon not ruling out the return of James Harden.
Christmas Day, Woj comes out with that story that Houston wants to go back after Harden. And it was like, whoa.
And not just that Houston wants to, but like Houston believes it is a legitimate possibility. And that's not coming out of thin air. James Harden still spends a lot of time in Houston, spends his summers in Houston. Works out at the Rockets facility on a regular basis. Like, it's a very real possibility. And Harden, by the way, never shot it down. He just said, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, he kind of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it was kind of like a non-denial.
Non-denial, 100%.
Yeah. So.
Okay, explain this to me until like I'm 5 years old, Sean. How is him working out at the Rockets facility not tampering?
It does seem like it should be against some...
The rules?
NBA rule.
Like, player working at your facility that's not on your team and, like, is being heavily connected to returning to your franchise. Like, the Rockets are going to lose a draft pick because of this. Like, they're going to get swatted for tampering.
The funniest part is they're still going to have to pay James Harden. Like, they can't take James Harden off the Rockets when he signs here in July. If he signs here in July. But let's just say when. Because the fact that all this smoke is coming out now. The 76ers are playing well. When it came out in the Christmas Day report that they mentioned in that clip, the Sixers were still trying to find themselves. James Harden was still trying to work his way in with playing with Joel Embiid. And so it kind of made sense of like, oh, maybe he's trying to twist the arm of the 76ers a little.
Get him to pay him.
Get the full max because he took a little bit less this year. Fine, whatever. And then now in dang near March, they're still like, man, it really looks like he's heading to the Rockets. That's crazy. After the game he had on Thursday night against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, they're three games back at the Celtics right now. Giannis goes down last night. It wouldn't shock me if the Philadelphia 76ers
be the one seed.
Are the one seed playing for the NBA championship this year. Honestly, I hope they are because I hate the city of Philadelphia. And the idea that Philadelphia in 365 days could get to the MLS championship game, lose, the World Series, lose, the Super Bowl, lose, the NBA Finals, and lose would be one of the funniest things in the world. Those morons in their greased-up poles that they're climbing, like, it would just be honestly hilarious if they got to the NBA Finals and lost. But this is where, like, I question what's going on with James Harden is, like, why do you want to come to the Rockets?
Yes, exactly.
And it's like people are like, He's changed. He's passing the ball. Our first text today is he wants to come back for the strip clubs. Agreed.
Yeah, that's why. Congratulations, Texter.
Like, I just, if James Harden wants to come back here, how can anyone in their right mind think that it's because he wants to be part of a winning basketball team? Everyone just talks about their losing culture, how they're a bad franchise right now, and James Harden wants to come back here to win? Get out of here.
He's on a winning franchise. And by the way, the only reason he gives up the ball and he's passing and working off ball more, because he's playing with someone who's better than him in Joel Embiid. Like, he's going to come here and be like, yeah, you know what? I really just want to dump it into the post for Sengun. Let him go to work.
Yeah, like,
KPJ's clearing out. Everyone, clear out for KPJ. He's like, no, I'm James Harden. I'm playing with 19-year-olds. Like, well, I'm going to dominate the ball.
Well, first of all, KPJ's got to go. Yeah, KPJ, I think, should leave anyways. I'm not Team KPJ. I do think that there is more stuff behind the scenes. The rumors are crazy always, but, like, I've heard rumors that he's not actually hurt still. Like, I've heard that he missed a game last year, which they said he was hurt after the suspension. In reality, it was another suspension that they didn't want to embarrass him publicly. Like, I just, none of that's confirmed. So I'll go allegedly, so I don't get sued like Pat McAfee is by Brett Favre. But, like, I just, this Rockets team, it makes no sense why James would want to be here. I kind of get it on paper that, like, he is more of a point guard now, and he's changed his role a little bit. He's not the same James that he was here, but he doesn't have Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Like, why would he not just be a ball hog and come in fat, out of shape, and going to strip clubs again?
The two teams he's been on since leaving the Rockets, he's played with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Joel Embiid. Of course he's more of a point guard. You couldn't be less of a point guard than he was with the Rockets. And yeah, I think that you could make the case on paper of you need to get some veterans in here. You need to build some sort of culture, sure, yada, yada, yada. You need a ball handler who can get these guys, because they just do not have a point guard on the roster other than Deshaun Knicks.
And he stinks.
Yes. but the... when you take all those factors, all that blind resume, and you're like, yep, that's what we need. And then you're like, okay, pull the curtain. It's James Harden. He's back. It's like, oh, my God. And we're going to have to pay him a deal that the Rockets will have to pay James Harden a deal that the Philadelphia 76ers don't want to pay him.
Yeah, which
the
is like
the 76ers, who are, by the way, A, have everyone on the 2017 Rockets already on their team, and B, are run by Daryl Morey. So you have to want James Harden more than Daryl Morey wants the James Harden.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that there may be some behind the scenes things going on with James Harden that he might try to come in with another star? What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really interesting. And yesterday on the Killer Bees, we asked this question, who's like public enemy number one? Who's the one guy, like, when they come to town, you hate seeing them? And one of the most popular answers was Draymond Green. And Draymond Green's a free agent this year. And, like,
so the Rockets are just going to turn heel on their own city? Because I bet James Harden was mentioned of guys that turned against too.
Like, you look at the superstar list, it's not great. And, like, I don't think Draymond Green's that great of a basketball player anymore. But, like, if you're going to go that route of James Harden, you can't be, like, intentionally bad. Like, you have to try to win.
Yeah. James Harden will come in with other veterans. He will not be the only person above the age of 28 on the roster.
Like, if you sold me on the idea that, like, okay, James Harden, point guard, Jalen Green, shooting guard, Victor Wembanyama, center, Draymond Green, power forward, some other veteran, decent player, Jabari Smith is your small forward, and, like, that's your five? Like,
congratulations on the 9 seed.
Congrats on getting into the play-in game. And that's the other thing, too. Like, long-term, is it really best for the franchise to go all in right now? Or
do you
want to wait a little bit
still? I don't think you should go all in, but you just need to be a legitimate basketball team again.
I don't think
I don't think James Harden's the only way to do it. Yes, it starts with the coach. I think coach is first on. I mean, again, Steven Silas is a great man. However, he should not be the coach of the Houston Rockets next year.
And honestly, and look, I think you're seeing a lot of these guys get second chances. It's almost the inverse of the NFL, where in the NFL you see coaches get a second chance and often they fail. You're seeing the opposite of that in the NBA, where you're seeing some coaches get first opportunities, typically in situations like the Rockets, yeah, it's kind of a disaster, and then they get their next job. So I'm not saying Silas can't be a great coach ever, but it's actually why this Hawks thing is like, I thought Quinn Snyder was the number one option,
yeah,
and they're sitting on Silas, and the Hawks fired Nate McMillan, and they're about to hire Quinn Snyder in the middle of the season, and I thought that was the perfect guy.
He, he would have been definitely up there. I think the Rockets do need someone with head coaching experience, just because, again, you got to get better. Like, you need some air of legitimacy. Even this is a guy who will just grind you to, in 2 years, you're winning 40 games a season. That is so much better than where they are right now. So, I mean, my, like, pie in the sky name is, if no other wrongdoing comes out about this guy, which is a great way to start your case for this person,
is
Ime Udoka.
Yeah, Ime Udoka is probably
he's like a top 10, top 5 NBA coach in one year.
And honestly, it's one of the weirdest stories ever. Like, all we really know is that he consensually slept with another coworker.
Yeah.
Now, at some point, he did abuse his power, but like, it's really unclear like what happened, why he's not the coach of the Nets, how many teams are going to give him an opportunity. He's on my list. Kenny Atkinson's on my list. And if you want to go a little bit different, someone that I think, I do think you can translate from college to the NBA, I would entertain the idea of like Jay Wright, now that he's retired from Villanova, as an option as well. But like, is James Harden going to want to play for like it's like, that's where like, I don't understand the James Harden thing. Like,
thanks for all the cool plays, Jay Wright, but this ain't Villanova. Like, I feel like that's what James Harden would be like. Yeah, that looks all cute.
Will Mike D'Antoni be the next coach of the Rockets?
713-780-3776.
I hope. I think that might be my nightmare. Like, we wake up one day, like, Draymond Green, James Harden, and Mike D'Antoni are the coach and players on the Rockets.
And he has the hair dye job that Dom Capers has. Look, I'm a young candidate.
Oh, man. All right, one team that's not the Rockets or the Texans, they're actually, you know, good at what they do, is, of course, the Houston Astros. Spring training officially underway. We know the Lance McCullers will miss opening day. We'll talk about that next. And what the Astros need to do with rotation is the bullpen. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Joe George. Josh behind the glass, the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Houston Astros, Lance McCullers, hurt. Yordan Alvarez, hurt. Not swinging a bat. Lance will miss opening day. It's baseball season, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
We're in full swing. No time off.
I can feel the excitement of, finally, the good team in town. Oh, let's go. And the guy who's always hurt is always hurt. And the guy who deals
might
with...
also always be hurt now.
Yeah, well, yeah. But at least is awesome when he plays. Also hurt. It's like we just fast forward to, like, June.
The Lance McCullers thing is crazy. I saw... he did an interview with Manav Gupta last year when he announced that he was going to miss opening day and he re-aggravated his injury. You know the news when Lance said he was going to miss opening day again this year? It came out the same day.
Are you kidding?
365 days apart.
Oh, my God.
They announced in spring training that he was going to miss opening day.
All I remember from, like, the early part of last season was that every, I think it was Sunday, he would go out on Minute Maid Park and, like, try to work through some things, whatever that means. And then he would, like, hold court talking with Brian McTaggart and Mark Berman for 30 minutes. And every single time, every Monday, we're like, you know, when do we think he comes back? And it always got bumped later and later and later. I feel like we're just doing that again.
Yeah, and, honestly does.
Last year ended with the World Series, so you can't be too bent out of shape about anything that happens February 24th. But it's still like, I understand people's frustration and fatigue with Lance McCullers constantly having to get injury updates on this guy.
Yeah, and I get why people are just kind of over the experiment, and like, and a lot of people want to move on from. I think there's a lot of people who, when they say let's trade Lance McCullers, they're kind of delusional, I think is the nicest way I can put it, of like where they say let's trade Lance McCullers and then they talk about getting someone of like quality in return.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why you don't want him potentially, because he's always injured. So like, you're not getting a quality player in return. You're not getting a top-level prospect. You're not getting – you might be able to upgrade center field by trading Lance McCullers if he was healthy right now. But, like, Lance is going to play out his contract here in Houston. I have zero doubt in my mind.
Yeah, maybe like if things go real bad, he gets traded on the last year of his deal or something. Yeah. But like, yeah, no, he's on the team, guys. Like the other team, the other 29 teams, like they get the injury report.
Yeah,
like,
no,
they get the news there. They know what this guy how long he pitches.
The only way that this would be like my greatest take of all time. I went over this last week with Andrew, and I've been accused of this here again that I have bad takes. I don't think I do.
You'll fit right in.
At my previous employment, I literally did a segment called The Irresponsible Hot Take of the Week, and it was like intentionally like blasphemous, and people just didn't get that it was a bit. But one time I said, I think Lance McCullers will be the first pick of the expansion draft, and people crushed me for it, and I'm not even kidding you that like that might be the only way Lance McCullers is off this team is if they expand Major League Baseball, the Astros put him up for expansion, and someone's like, we'll take Lance McCullers in Nashville.
He would love Nashville. The only hole I see in this is that he might not be the number one pick.
That's fair.
He might be like the number five pick.
Well, like Tony Boselli. Tony Boselli is Lance McCullers. I don't know if it totally correlates, but like really good player at one point, always hurt, kind of the same.
Didn't Tony Boselli make the Hall of Fame?
Last year, yes.
I think he was a little bit better than Lance McCullers.
He was, but he was just I was obviously not living in Houston when the Texans were created. But Tony Boselli, like one of the all time wasted expansion draft picks. So, like he like, played like three games. I don't even know if he played for the Texans ever, to be honest. But Dusty Baker, Josh, let's go to the audio. Him talking about potentially adding a starter here during this last offseason.
Well, I mean, you got to ask the powers that be, you know. You know, like I got power, but I don't have authority, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that was always a consideration for me. But like I said, I'm not the and at the time, we didn't have a general manager in place in order to make that move, you know. So, and like I said, I didn't have the authority to do that.
Okay. One thing with this, first of all. There's a little bit of revisionist history there, it feels like, from Dusty Baker about not having a GM because they literally signed Jose Abreu, kept Rafael Montero. Like, they made moves this offseason, so this idea that they couldn't add a starting pitcher is odd to me. But also, like, who would sign up to be an Astro in terms of the fact that you have six starters? Like, you have your one through five, Fromber, Javier, McCullers, Urquidy, Garcia, Hunter Brown. Which veteran is going to be like, hey, I'm going to go be the seventh guy, a.k.a. not make the roster in Houston. Like, that's just
– exactly.
It wasn't really an option. So it kind of feels like reactionary and revisionist history a little bit there with Dusty.
Yeah. He didn't know Lance McCullers was going to get hurt until the first day of spring training, which maybe he knew he was going to get hurt but didn't know exactly when he was going
to
get hurt.
It's the only argument to where, like, I think that you – of where maybe that's what Dusty is saying without saying it is he is very concerned about that.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, I've talked about how it feels like maybe Dusty has a little bit of, like, I hate to use like PTSD, but like, it's the only way I can describe what I'm talking about is that Dusty Baker has had very bad luck in his managerial career with Hunter Brown type players.
Kerry Wood, Mark Pryor,
Steven Strasburg, yeah. One of the best pitchers in baseball. They shut him down a month before the season ended, and they missed the playoffs. And then he got hurt anyways the next season.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, is Dusty concerned that Hunter Brown, because of his lack of experience, the rule changes, all that stuff, is not going to last throughout the season? Was he concerned about Lance? Like, you know, is he – I don't know how you feel about this. Like, I'm a little concerned about Luis Garcia with his having to change his motion. Not like panic button.
Yeah, no. I think I'm not – I wouldn't say concerned, but I'm interested in seeing how he adjusts to it. I think because I trust that he will be. Again, the Astros season is so like the real
so long.
The games that actually matter for the Astros don't happen for another 6 months.
I know. It's almost like, well, it's funny. Last year, it felt like people like honestly just didn't care at one point. Yeah. It was like once you got past the deadline.
Yeah, once you get past the deadline, because up to the deadline, you want to trade Jake Odorizzi and whatever the other. The tiny, 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 tiny weaknesses that you have, like backup catcher mm-hmm. and your seventh starter. And then once you make those moves, everyone's like, all right, cool. Looks good. Got Trey Mancini. Let's fast forward. It's like, Yeah, I think this starting rotation is going to be fine. If Dusty wants to limit the innings on especially Hunter Brown, some of these guys, go for it. Like, just call up a sixth starter. Like, I'm sure they have guys in the minors that could be, again, a sixth starter on the Astros.
No.
And the Astros are still going to win the division.
We're not going to use the audio for this one, Josh, but you know, he also talks about how, you know, this camp, in reference to Hunter Brown, is an opportunity for someone to step up.
Yeah.
And, like, he kind of, like, references, like, that they might still go to a six-man rotation. And Brandon Bielak's already got shelled a little bit in his first spring training game. But, like, you have him. And, obviously, the guy, like, it's the man, the myth, the legend of Forrest Whitley.
Oh, I'm completely – Forrest Whitley is, like, Lance McCullers if he was worse and got hurt more.
Yeah.
So I just do not factor him in.
Oh, I'm on the record that, like, he'll never pitch a game for the Astros
in the majors. Yeah.
In the majors. But, like, what if he is healthy?
Oh,
like,
oh my God. That
like, what if he, what if you go with a six-man rotation and every,
and it's Forrest Whitley and his 9.8 ERA in AAA last year, or AA, hey, wherever he was last year.
Okay, we'll figure it out. Yeah, I'm not concerned about the Astros. I get why. And, like, they can make a move at the deadline. Like, there's all these guys who, like, are on bad teams that
can easily
be acquired.
You just need to Band-Aid it. Like, you just need a Band-Aid solution. That's why Dusty wanted to go out and sign a veteran free agent. It's like, you don't need to do all that.
Yeah,
like,
no, you don't. Need to do all that. No, and I think, actually, when you look at the Astros' schedule, I'm trying to pull it up here.
They do have a lot of off days early in the season.
It's like they're off like every Thursday for the first like 40 days of the season. So it's like, do you really need a six-man rotation when you have a built-in off day every week? Like, you have a really good bullpen, like, that you can go, guys can give you some relief. You know, who knows what these rule changes are gonna kind of turn out, but
yeah, that is the pitch clock stuff is very interesting.
It is very interesting. We're gonna talk about that next. What is one rule, if you could do anything in the world, sports, non-sports, what is one rule or something you would like to introduce a clock for? We'll talk about that next. Plus, there's been two full spring training games in Major League Baseball so far, dramatically different in length. It is going to honestly change baseball for the best. We'll talk about that next year on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Tonight, Houston Dynamo FC kicks off the 2023 regular season in the Midwest as they take on FC Cincinnati. Coverage begins tonight at 6 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're on Twitch at twitch.tv/ESPN975. What's up, guys? We see you there. You can text in your questions at 713-780-3776 or call in on the HRNP listener line. So the pitch clock and the rule changes have been implemented in baseball. Last night, we had two spring training games. Both went 2.5 hours, which is obviously way different. There's this video that Jared Carrabas put out just showing it was Nick Martinez of the Padres pitching last night. And Sean, literally before the show, you said you thought maybe the video was sped up.
It looked edited. It looked like it was baseball. Everything looked normal, but just the pace in which it was happening, I was like, this looks like it's on 1.25 speed.
Yeah, so if you don't remember what the rules are, pitchers have 15 seconds to throw a pitch from the second they get the ball to when they start their moves, when there's no one on base. When there's someone on base, they have 20 seconds. And what's interesting about, like, the Padres one is, like, he's not taking 15 seconds. He was taking 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's pitching at, like, 9 or 10 every single time.
And so it's way more fast-paced, and, like, it's different. It's going to take some getting used to. It is going to make... You know, it's funny. One of, like, the biggest things that, like, I'm thinking about for this season, man, you're going to miss a lot while you're in the beer line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like, wow.
Like, if those beer lines are long, you might actually, like, you're going to miss a lot of action. I'm very strategic in my beer line quest, okay? I am when the Astros are pitching, that's when I get beer. Mm-hmm. or if I know like Martin Maldonado, Jake Myers, and Chas McCormick are coming up, and like I don't want to see them hit.
I'm a big look at the lineup and try to time it. Like, all right,
missing Alvarez hit a tank while I'm getting beer.
Or the best is when you can combine it. It's the Astros pitching to the bottom of the other team's lineup. You're like,
that's great.
I don't need to know what Oakland's backup catcher does.
Yeah, like they're gonna have cool. That's the number one ballpark must. They got to figure out beer lines and bathroom lines, because if this game's going that fast, like you're gonna be missing on. Also, this is gonna be a money saver, because we're gonna get to the seventh inning when they stop selling beer
in like 2 hours.
Like we're gonna be talking like hour and 45 minutes to drink your beer. This is a money saver.
I did not think that many steps ahead. MLB Stadium or MLB owners, because of course MLB owners would complain about this. Them being like, the games are too short. We're not making enough money off concessions.
Well, honestly, like
people don't get hungry enough at games anymore.
I was actually thinking with the beer thing, and the reason why I heard a podcast talking about this, was that part of the reason why you end at the seventh inning is because not just for people driving home, but just you don't want people drinking for 4.5 hours. Like, if these games move to, like, 2.5, I actually wonder, like, if we could see a stadium get rid of the seventh inning, like, thing. And maybe it's, like, they just stop selling beers in extra innings. You just push it back to the eighth, even.
Like, that is interesting. Yeah, I think the cause that you mentioned about, like, trying to limit drunk driving, that is such a, like, big thing, rightfully so.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I don't think it really helps.
Well,
that'd be straightforward.
That too. But any rule that seems like you're allowing it to drunk driving to be easier to happen.
Yeah, you avoid it.
Yeah, you're just not going to make that move. But yeah, no, that is interesting.
All right, so Sean asked the question here, and we ask it to you guys, 713-780-3776. What's something sports or non-sports you'd like to introduce a clock for? Sean?
I'll go first with sports, and it's something that it's not an original idea by me, but every time there's a review in football, basketball, whatever.
Takes too long.
So my rule is once the ref goes either under the hood or connects with Secaucus, New Jersey, or however this replay system is working, there's a 60-second clock on. You got to make the call. You got to overturn it. If it takes longer than a minute to overturn this call, guess what? It's not that definitive.
Yeah, I'm going to go now they kind of gone away with fighting, but give me like a full boxing round. I'm gonna add time, okay? Give me like if you start a fight in hockey, that fight lasts for 3 minutes. Like I'm adding time.
So they drink a round.
Give me a full 3-round, 1-round boxing match on the ice. If you're gonna throw hands, throw them all the way. But also like sometimes they don't typically last longer than that. Maybe 3 minutes is too much.
3 minutes is such a long time to fight.
You can have knockouts. I mean, but like just
you
like
get a lot of them.
Like if you're gonna have
a
2 minute
mark,
yeah. Like if you're gonna fight, like give me a full round. Like if you're gonna do it, commit. Like let's go all the way.
Do you want judges scoring it, and then you know that can be part of some advanced statistics in hockey of like this guy. Not only is he a goon, he wins most of his fights.
Hey, like what if we like rewarded like a point?
Now I feel like we are making hockey UFC.
We're making hockey great again is what we're doing here on the bullpen.
I might start watching.
Josh, what is your sports one?
So for me, I'm not really too big on appealing to a market that's not really interested in your sport, but I previously mentioned it during the break. I think the MLS should have sort of like a countdown for you have to pass midfield once you have possession of the ball to kind of speed up the game a little bit. Actually, I think that would speed it up a lot, and I think that would get Americans just a tad bit more interested in soccer or football or whatever the case is.
Yeah, I think some sort of just a little bit of a kick in the pants of like, all right, guys, you can pass it around, but just at least like be closer to the other team's goal.
Yeah, I think that's actually like an interesting one, and you can listen to the Houston Dynamo game here. We are back to being the home of the Houston Dynamo. Game starts tonight, 6:00. Glenn Davis on the call.
That was such a great
Houston Dynamo versus FC Cincinnati.
Integrative marketing. Look, how we fix the sport, by the way.
We're on the air tonight.
Also, I think like the entire, I don't know, country of Italy and Spain and England are like going to drive to your house and shoot you because of that. Because they're like, that's not how we play. You don't understand.
1,000%. 1,000%.
But you're smart. You said it should be an MLS rule.
Yeah, make it an MLS
rule. It should be an MLS rule.
Yeah, well, they play different basketball rules in Europe than we do here.
Yeah.
So why can't we have different soccer rules?
I'm 100%. I'd like all these. Honestly, let's
yeah.
I think we're making some good changes.
I think we're making positive change here on the bullpen today. So let's go to the real fun stuff. Non-sports. You can implement a clock for anything you want in the world. The world is your oyster. What do you want?
Checkout lines. The self-checkout. Self-checkout specific.
Oh, so like you have a timer.
Yes. And it like once you go over the timer, that's an extra 50 cents. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm hitting you in the wallet.
That's fine.
Of, hey, chop, chop. Like,
you know what might help this?
Let's figure this out.
Most of them have like limits of like how many groceries you're supposed to go through.
Yeah, it's only going to be like 10 things, 15 things.
You know how many people don't follow that?
Oh, so many.
I mean, I'm guilty. It's just like it's easier for me. Like, I just don't have to deal with being in line. If it's open, like I'll go through it. But like that, I think that's the biggest issue. I love that though.
Yeah, just like, hey, you can still take your time. Just you'll have to pay an extra dollar, $2 if you go over a minute longer than a lot of time.
What was like every minute you get 50 cents?
Yeah, I haven't worked out the economics and the, you know, I haven't studied the stopwatch of how long it should take.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Rayman 1999 on Twitch says drive-thrus. Great.
Drive-thru. Oh, man. The clock on the drive-thru.
Everyone be like Chick-fil-A.
How
do they get it so right and everyone else gets it so wrong?
Not just like Chick-fil-A. Like every single location of Chick-fil-A, it's like the most efficient thing you've ever seen.
It's like, it's just mind-blowing that like, I went to a Whataburger.
Whataburger is the biggest offender in the opposite direction.
Oh man, I made such a mistake. There was two lines, and I thought they merged. It was like I'd never been. It was like right when I moved.
A B line, yeah.
And like the B line, like I thought it merged like you would at Chick-fil-A. I'm such an idiot. They brought me my food, but the person in front of me didn't get their food, and they wouldn't move up.
Yeah,
I sat in line. I ate my entire. I got those breakfast taquitos. I sat in my car and ate my food because the person in front of me wouldn't move. And I finally, one of the Whataburger people came back out and I'm like, can you move this person? Like, I've been sitting here for 10 minutes. Like, with my coffee was cold by the time I left the line. What a disaster. Be Hannon on Twitch says, machines at the gym. Love it. Obviously, not much of a gym guy. I try to be, but I think that's a great one.
Yeah, yeah. I think that also works. And also, there's some. You know, there's some workouts where you do want to go faster because it kind of ties into the pitch clock, the actual baseball pitch clock thing of,
yeah,
it is actually more strenuous on your muscles to not have 30 seconds of downtime between reps.
Wow, we're just really helping people today. We're giving them workout advice. We're telling them how to make their lives better.
I guarantee you everyone who listened was like, oh, Andrew's not on the show. We'll get no workout advice. Boom. You got workout
advice. We didn't get any workout advice from Andrew last week.
Oh, he's keeping it all to himself.
He's trying, yeah, I'll make that change not starting.
Sharing the knowledge.
If you missed it earlier, we are going to be launching a second day of the bullpen here on 97.5, 92.5. Sean, RJ, BMAC, and Josh. We'll be doing a show on Sundays from 10 to 12. If you're going to be like the people yesterday, I made this announcement. Where is Moneyline? Moneyline will be back for football season or whenever they're ready to come back. That Sunday show will move back 2 hours. We're going to keep it here going forward. It'll be mostly Andrew and myself. We're still going to change it up occasionally, but we'll be doing shows on Saturdays and on Sundays, kind of starting next week. There's an A&M game next Saturday, so I won't be on the air next week.
Okay.
But Josh, what is your non-sports?
Once you finish eating dinner and finish your dessert, please leave your table at the restaurant. Oh, my goodness. As a server, sometimes, and just even waiting for a table to clear up as a person who wants to dine into the restaurant, get up. Get up.
That's a big one. I think that's good. My wife's family owns a restaurant, and there's a lot of times where it's so hard because you can't be rude to the people, especially if they haven't paid yet, because your tip is still on the line.
Yeah.
So you can't walk up to someone and be like, hey, we got a line of people that are like waiting, because then your tip goes from like maybe 20% to 10%.
Yeah.
And you're just like crushed.
I will admit that this is a rule that would affect me personally.
You're a lingerer?
I do a little bit of lingering. But now, you know what, Josh? I'll work on it.
You're going to not linger as much? Now, are you still like drinking, like, or like
eating? Well, yeah. I mean, I assume this does not apply to sports bars and like you're watching.
Yeah.
At an actual restaurant, I'm better at it than not. But yeah, I'll linger from time to time, and so now I know.
All right, I'll be quick with mine. I don't even know what I'm doing, but just something with TSA. like there's just got to be like a shot clock of like, hey, and honestly, I think it apply like a million different ways. Like if you're in line and like you take too long, like
taking off your shoes,
you know, your shoes are coming off, you know, your laptop's coming out of the bag, you know, you're taking your belt off. Like if you take too long, you're going to the back of the line.
Also, I do like this because it works similar to my review one in sports, where if you can't find that I have a box cutter on me in TSA, yeah, guess what? I'm getting on the plane with it.
Like what do you like? It's just sometimes they're so bad at their job. It's just like you're just sitting there. And it's like, it's just a toothbrush. Like we're okay here. Yeah. Like we're gonna be all right. All right, the NFL draft is just like 2 months away at this point. There's obviously gonna be a ton of movement in mock drafts. Hype trains get rolling. We've seen it with Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, but the hype train is moving for maybe the most interesting quarterback in the draft, Anthony Richardson. Could we one day wake up and see him mocked to the Texans at 2? Would you be okay with it? We discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.